This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects. Two in the books, one to go. Final hour of the show on a Thursday in the big city. Barry's got a comedian all picked out tomorrow for an FEF Friday. I'm sure of it.
Of course I do.
As we will recap.
Hey. I'll have you know, Aaron Raybould sent me a suggestion for a comedian of the week that was supposed to be performing at the Secret Group. Now, he's not a Houston comic per se, but he was supposed to be at the Secret Group this week. So maybe I'll feature him anyway since he was going to be in Houston. So see there, guys? It's called teamwork. Maybe try it sometime. What? All right. I'll be over here if you need me.
Yeah. El Jefe said it's scary because El Jefe, of course, I still don't understand this, but he's a Spurs fan and a Texans fan.
I don't understand that.
And
either.
An Astros fan.
Oh,
but
I just thought
he said,
it was because he's a Spurs fan. I don't understand it.
But he had sent out his picture of his mask going, now Joel and I could be twins. He's not lying. I'm going to send out mine.
Does it look similar?
Right. I'm going to send it out for you guys right now. I'll tweet it out. At Pac-Man Joel. But, the mask from Missy, set me up. Yeah, so I'll tweet it out right now.
Excellent. At Pac-Man Joel with a K.
Yes.
Can you, are you just going to retweet it or are you going to type a message? If you type the message, please type it in a Midwest accent.
I don't know if I can do that. Oh, I guess I could.
Yeah.
A lot of people do that with, I'm just going to put, here's the mask I had to wear last night. Thanks, Missy.
Hey, Brent had a question. Read an article about the Oilers coming back on Sports Map. Would you guys trade the Texans uniforms for the Oilers? Let me just stop you right there, Brent. Yes.
Yeah, that's a big yes for Barry.
Yes. I think that the Texans have one of the worst uniforms in football. And I've been saying that for years. It is time for an update. It looks like if uniforms were websites, the Texans play in GeoCities every single week. So,
okay, but here's the thing, Barry. I can't – look, I understand and I knew right from the get-go that you're not a fan of those uniforms. I don't mind them, and I don't mind the color scheme. I understand the logo and could have been a lot better and things like that. And look, to their credit, the Roughnecks did a hell of a job. The Roughnecks, with the way that they put together what they put together in terms of the logo itself, period, is really good. But I think there's a lot worse uniforms in the NFL than the Houston Texans.
I'm going to disagree, but I guess we can disagree to disagree.
Speaking of uniforms, by the way, you see the Chargers' new uniforms?
Yes, top notch, A+.
Yeah, finally, one of the teams. Yep, the only knock on them to me is their homage to the past is the Chargers had a specialty helmet that had their number on the underneath the lightning bolt on the helmet. And so that when they did throwbacks, that's the helmet that they used to wear. But now they decided to put the number on every helmet with every uniform combination, and I think that's a bit much. I like just the simplicity of the helmet with the lightning bolt. But other than that, man, to have all the different variations of the different blue uniforms and the way they did it, they got it right.
Top notch. I'm a big fan. I mean, blue's my favorite color, so obviously. And, you know, the Texans are blue, but it's red, white, and blue, and it's not good. It's just lame. I like what the Chargers did. They're the only one so far that got the uniform changes right. Everybody else was kind of eh. I mean, I don't think the Bucks were too bad. I think I liked it better than having those scoreboard numbers. It looked like an alarm clock.
Right. Right.
I kind of like that they went back to that more than what they were at. But
Patriots and Browns could have stayed the same, and no one would have cared. And the Patriots, it was their color rush anyway, so it wasn't, you know, that big of a change. Now, in terms of what you said, look, I think that we could talk about, you know, how much do you want to stay traditional and never change your uniforms, i.e. Bears, Packers, you know, teams that have been around a long time, as opposed to teams that don't have that kind of longstanding history that want to just kind of appeal to the younger, hipper audience. Seattle, the Seahawks, did that with that neon green and some of the things they did. I'll say this. I love the fact that Love You Blue was synonymous with just like Carolina blue with the Tar Heels, mm-hmm. that Love You Blue synonymous in the league with the Oilers, and that's what Houston should have. That yep. The blue white and the Love You, I mean the white red and the Love You Blue is absolutely, regardless of what the uniforms look like, you and I would hope you'd keep the logo or at least jazz it up, but keep the Derek. But yeah, I think that color combination belongs in Houston.
No doubt. And yes, texters, I know that Tennessee owns that. We've covered that 1,000 bajillion times on this show.
Chaps our asses. Nothing you can do about it.
But yeah, it sucks. What you going to do?
Right. So, yeah, I'm with you in the fact that if they could, they should keep the colors, if nothing else, with the Oilers. And it's a travesty that they can't. It's also, like you said, it's also a travesty that you can't keep your history and have the retired numbers of guys that played in Houston in Houston's Ring of Fame instead of in Tennessee, which is absolutely a joke.
Boy, it angers me to no end that Earl Campbell would be considered to be in the Tennessee Titans Ring of Honor, so to speak.
How dumb is that?
Nauseating. Nauseating.
Now, hate would you agree
Bud
with me
Adams,
that
rest in peace? Hate you!
Would you give up McNair and Eddie George in terms of those jerseys should be in Tennessee instead of Houston because most of their career was played in Tennessee and their biggest success was in Tennessee as opposed to Houston? If you could keep Earl and Bruce Matthews and all the legendary
Ray
Oilers,
Childress.
I think so too.
Yep. I mean, I get it because even though they were drafted here and we saw them for what, 1 year? Two, maybe?
I think two. Maybe two.
But right. Yeah, I would certainly trade that because you had, you know, Kenny Stabler for a while. You had Moon and Luck and it breaks my heart for this city, for fans of this city, for fans that you don't understand. I mean, you weren't here at the time, but I know you know about it. But you, I don't think unless you were here, you just don't realize the love they filled up the Astrodome for a welcome home after a loss.
Yeah. No, I wasn't here for that.
Now, you think about that.
I was here for the
end of it. This is Houston, Texas. We don't go to games until the second or third quarter. Rockets, Texans, we don't go all the time. That's how much this team was loved, as they filled up a dome stadium, the Astrodome, the eighth wonder of the world, following a loss. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, I was here at the end of it. When the turf gave way, they had to cancel a game, and they were, you know, pushing them out. They were got, you know, Bud was going to move them out of town. I wasn't there in the middle of when they were, you know, in their heyday.
80,
but
yeah,
just
80.
Even just seeing it on TV, you're like, that's what football's all about. When
uh-huh.
that's the way it should be, with the passion that fan base had, and the Houston Oilers fight song, and all those different things, man. I
look
mean,
at how football here we come. I still know the words. I mean, I still
is that the Houston Oilers?
Yeah,
Houston.
It'd be like it started off. Look out, football here we come. Houston Oilers number one. Dun, 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 like I remember the whole thing. I remember every Sunday getting the Houston Post, and there would be a page in the sports section that would have a character of who the Oilers were playing that week, and it would be, you know, if like it was the Jets, there would be a plane that was crashed, and there would be an Oiler or whatever standing on top. Like, dude, it's just everybody. This is when we became a football town. Was that that Love You
sure.
Blue era is what made this city a football town? And so we
for
always
sure.
talk about Houston's a football town. That's why, and that is gone, and that's a tragedy and a travesty for the city.
No, for sure. I also want to point this out as we continue to move forward, but thankfully for once I can give Roger Goodell some credit. He's actually owning the fact that everybody boos him. And we had joked that because he's going to do the draft starting tonight from his basement, that, you know, his address got out. People are going to boo from the sidewalk to try and make sure that he still hears the boos. Well, now they don't have to worry about it. I hope they play the commercials. I would think so around the draft, but thanks to Bud Light Seltzer and Goodell being a good sport, there's a commercial out there, and there's also tweets to back it up that says the draft is going to be without an important tradition, and we just can't let that stand. So you record your boos of Roger Goodell, then post and tag at Bud Light and hashtag Boo the Commissioner. We'll deliver the boos to the draft, and for each Boo the Commish post through April 25th, we'll donate $1 to NFL Draftathon, up to $500,000, so that it will go to charity.
Oh, that's great.
So that's a nice touch by an otherwise guy that's not too well versed in nice touches. So
not everybody's favorite person, but that's outstanding and good for him for not taking himself so serious that he can't make that commercial.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because a lot of people, yeah, you're exactly right. They take themselves too seriously to the fact that they wouldn't even think about that because their ego wouldn't let them. So at least he's showing a little humility, and that's always good from a guy that has drawn the ire of so many fans.
Are we going to break, Nick, or do we still have a little time?
Nick?
Well, I was just going to say because, you know, Lance, his last mock draft dropped today at 10:46, and then he updated it at 11:24, and I just thought we could go over a couple and just kind of see what you guys thought. We can do it on the other side. Okay. I mean, if you want, we can see if there's any surprises or, you know, what you think of his final mock draft.
Cool. We can do that. All right, and of course, we're always willing to hear from you guys, and you guys can be a part of the show. We love the suspects, most of them. 713-780-3776, unless you're Lenny Jobin. Why don't you text, tweet, or call the show? We'd love to have you. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We still got a little over a half hour left in the show, so we've got time for you to join us. But we wanted to give you a little programming note. Special guest tomorrow on an FEF Friday, as Mike Greenberg is scheduled to join us tomorrow from ESPN, formerly of the Mike and Mike show, now Barry's favorite show, Get Up. He's the host. So that should be good. He's going to join us for at least a full segment, so we should have some good dialogue with Mike. Only one prerequisite, that is every question Barry asks Mike, he has to have another slang term for the show, not Get Up. He has to use Shut Up. He has to use all the ones that he's used on the air here locally in Houston.
That would go over well, right? Like, so when y'all are doing sit down, do you maybe like
now,
huh?
Do you? You remember we interviewed him in the Super during the Super Bowl.
Yep, I do remember that.
And I had also hosted
took a picture together, he and I. It looked like what would happen if Mike Greenberg just let it go and didn't care about his diet anymore. That's what the picture looked like. It was like before when I ate right and then after.
Well, the thing that I took away from it was the fact that I had the meet and greet prior to us interviewing him with him and Golic. And they were hungry. They had been on the air. They obviously were tired. They wanted to take a nap. And I was like, oh, boy. You know, you kind of get those sometimes where you catch a guy on the wrong day. And then we interviewed him. And I remember what turned around, not only the day, but the interview that we did with him too, was our man Mike from Pick Me. And the fact that, you know, he was kind of just going through the motions and he gets a lot of the same questions. And I had brought up the fact, because Mike tipped me off to this when Mike was Mr. Get Me, when he was shuffling us all around town during Super Bowl week. And Mike grew up in Chicago. And he was watching, they had, I believe it was like after Bulls games, they had a cable access show that Greenberg hosted that took calls. And Mike was like borderline suicidal. And he brought it up to Mike Greenberg, and had, first of all, kudos to him for being able to put it out there. But Greenberg basically gave him a lot of good advice, talked him out of thinking about doing anything like that, told him like Dennis Rodman, because I think that's how it came up, was Rodman was a different individual and was that so bad and everything. And basically said, look, as long as you do what you want to do and you do it your way and you do your job, don't ever worry about what other people think. Don't ever think of doing something like that. And Mike happened to be there with us when we did the meet and greet, and Greenberg all of a sudden went from kind of disengaged to really listening to everything that I was telling about the story. And then I said, and by the way, Mike, he's sitting right there. And he almost came to tears, and he went over afterwards and obviously shook hands and talked to Mike. And I was like, that's one of the neatest things that I can remember happening when we were first getting started with this show, was the fact that Greenberg had no idea. We didn't set it up. We didn't know that was going to happen. Had no idea the story with Get Me Mike. And then once he told it and how it changed Greenberg's whole day, it was pretty awesome.
That's very cool. Very cool.
So we'll have to get some good questions for him. Not the same run-of-the-mill questions that I'm sure everybody else asks when he does the junkets and does all the interviews. But he's scheduled to be on the show tomorrow, so that should be good.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I can't wait to ask him about Get Out.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. I can't. I mean, I like to joke about it, but I wouldn't disrespect a man to his face like that on a show. It's all in fun, you know? Because it started off the first time, I couldn't remember the name legitimately. Because y'all know my memory's terrible. And then after that, it just kind of became a bit and just stuck with it. But I wouldn't disrespect Green like that. I have a lot of respect for him.
No, I'm kidding. I know that. And look, I think the other thing is, too, we can all play around. But you still get a lot of – I think you get more information on Get Up. And you
I
get
actually
a lot
like
of, yeah, I love Marcus Spears. And you know I'm a big Ryan Clark fan.
Yep.
The fact that, you know, you get all the different – viewpoints and perspectives instead of all the screaming and Max unfortunately has become more of Skip Bayless just trying to be clickbait to get people out there to hate him and still talk about him. So I think that I get a lot out of Get Up and I like the way they did. It took them a while to get it right because Michelle Beadle, remember, was early on the co-host and that experiment failed and
right.
They experimented with a lot of different formats. I think they got it right now.
Yep. I do too. I actually, when I'm up and I watch it, I really enjoy it.
I agree with you.
I've been staying up late
this.
Though, Nora and I, because Nora's been working the night shift more, like every other week. So she, like last night, she got home at 12:30 at night, and I'm up. I just got through playing on Twitch, so I'm up. So we're eating. Totino's pizzas at the dinner table at like 1:30 in the morning.
Okay.
And it was just like, well, this is a weird life that we're living. And then, you know, I mean, we're still up at you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock. But, yeah, it's completely topsy-turvy. But, I mean, I'll stay up till 4 in the morning now.
Were you, like, venting to her about how you're getting your butt kicked on MLB The Show? And she was like, I really don't care. Really don't care.
Look, she spends all day at you know, doing a real job and putting up with real issues and, you know, all this. So the last thing I'm going to do is like, babe, I gave up a 3-run Jimmy Jack in the bottom of the 10th in a baseball game that's not even real. Don't you feel sorry for me? She would probably slap the mess out of me. So
at least the diet's going well. Totino's pizza at 1:30 in the morning. That's good.
I was waiting for the judgment. Oh, mister, I'm getting skinny during quarantine. I was waiting for the judgment.
I'll wait for more judgment because I just saw the video on Twitch about you with you like screaming and swearing and cursing. I thought it was – did you watch it, Joel?
I have not watched it yet, no.
Well, here, take a listen to it.
Oh,
yeah, he's going to be – c**k is definitely going to be pounding the zone. You know this, Burnsy. Oh, fuck me.
That one is out of here. This game is tied.
Fuck. Fuck shit. My baseball Tourette's.
That is fantastic.
Oh, so pissed, and of course Eric Resendez just decides, well, we're clipping that. It's a term they basically just make highlights when stuff good or bad happens, and he was like, well, that's a highlight. I was like, oh, you don't clip when I have, you know, Tucker at the plate, which by the way, we decided on the chat last night while I was playing that we're going to call home runs from Kyle Tucker from now on. They're Tuck jobs. So if we could do Springer Dinger, we're doing Tuck jobs. But no, you don't clip that. That's what he saves as a highlight and tweets out for everybody.
Fuck shit.
I think the better one is, oh, bleep me.
Oh, it was so funny. God.
Oh, fuck me.
That's fantastic.
That was Oh,
I definitely think you need to start playing listeners. I definitely think that you need to do that on a regular basis. And Nick, you need to be running audio on all of
it. Well, I mean, starting in May, I plan on once a week, probably on Sundays, maybe. You know, just because we don't get Sunday night baseball, but maybe, yeah, on Sundays I'll pick her, but you gotta be like, follow me on Twitch and you gotta be active. If you just show up one time, but like if Eric Resendez has a PS4, I'll play Eric. If, you know, Josh Fernandez has been there, Mike was there, H-Town Mike last night. Who else was there? Walt showed up. So yeah, if those guys want to play, we can rotate if they have the game.
Well, job cool. Well done by Eric Resendez, because I no question enjoyed that.
Tip of the cap to Eric. Fantastic.
I hate y'all. God, I was so angry. You have no idea. I was mad. I was as mad as when Brad Lidge gave up the home run to Pujols. You could literally just take that and put it on the Lidge highlight, and it would have been the same thing. The baseball Tourette's was in full effect.
I won't say who sent it to me, but they saw the picture on Twitter and asked, has Adam Clanton sent that picture to Tad Brown yet? I was like, I wish he would. I wish he would for both of their sakes. And see if I can.
Give me a reason. By the way, speaking of that picture, which it has the Spurs mask. Somebody wanted to know what's the minor league cap that you're wearing? San Antonio, right?
No, that's Quad City River Bandits.
Quad City.
It's actually an affiliate of the Astros. Unfortunately, they changed their logo, and it now has, I want to say, like, the River Bandit is now a raccoon, and that's their mascot. But, yeah, back in the day, that was my favorite logo. I had said, told the story on the air before that that's the hat I wore to practice and college and everything else. I just loved that logo. So I thought it was apropos. If I'm going to the store with a mask on, I might as well wear the hat that's got a mask on it, too. So
right.
Yeah, so there you have it. By the way, when we come back from break, you know how much I have the broadcasting man crush on Ryan Clark.
Uh-huh.
He did what I wish more experts would do when commenting on things like the NFL draft. We got a soundbite coming back you'll get a kick out of as we get the final half hour started. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Oh, fuck me.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final half hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. As we always tell you at this point in the program, if you missed any portion of today's show, ESPN975.com, click on the show tab for the suspects at the top of the page. Menu will come down. You can catch up on the hours you missed. And then while you're on that front page, before you sign off, you can also follow the directions, download the app, take us anywhere, everywhere. Never miss another ESPN 97.5 show.
Do it!
Oh, f*** me!
It's going to be a staple, and I love it.
I hate y'all.
That is fantastic.
I just want to give a shout-out to Jason, who is the manager over at the Buffalo Grill on Bissonnette. They are giving away free meals to all first responders. So if you're a first responder and you would like some lunch or to eat, just get out to the Buffalo Grill on Bissonnette.
That's awesome.
Jason, or just tell them you're a first responder. Get a free meal. How cool is that?
And you know what? Jason and your boss, Tommy Shalacy, who is the proprietor of Buffalo Grill. I mark this down, fellas.
Oops, did you drop something?
No. Can I just finish? Because, okay, we've talked about this before, and I've raved to you guys about how good their breakfast is, and in particular, their pancakes that are like the size of a plate, each one.
You have?
Yes.
Yes.
This is so we're going – Jason – save us a table and tell Tommy, whatever, when this is all over with this pandemic, the three of us are coming over there for our pre-show meeting and having some breakfast.
Amen.
And tell Tommy to whoop up some pancakes for us. Because if you haven't had the Buffalo Grill breakfast, you are missing it, because that is the best pancakes in town.
I'm holding you to that. We're going to do it.
Yes, that is no doubt. I will
and you're buying.
Back. That doesn't matter. That's fine.
Okay.
Based on the free pub we just gave them, they should be buying that.
They should just let us eat for free.
They should just say, yeah.
Look,
you guys
see,
get here.
That's why
here's
Joel
your...
would buy. He's like, I'll buy. Hey, you know we gave you, like, you know how much.
Hey, here's your
Chick-fil-A. Right?
Here's your version of the Chick-fil-A drive-through card. You just take this and come to the Buffalo Grill. We got you. Okay. So I did tease this before the break, and I want to get to this, but I love the honesty. You, Barry, you were mentioning, too, about people to follow because everybody's going to have commentary on the draft tonight. If you're not following Ryan Clark and mentioning Greenberg earlier as well, Greenberg actually has created a segment within Get Up that is basically Ryan Clark explaining Ryan Clark tweets because he goes off the rails. It's not just sports related. He could be watching. He's watching The Office. He's watching whatever. But he just goes out. He's out there making comments, and he's not afraid to say what he feels. Well, they were asking him this morning to, like, break down the draft and the first round and who's going where and everything else. And, you know, most guys fake it. Even if they don't know it, they're like, well, you know, Joe Burrow with what he had the greatest response. Here it is.
Hey, I don't dang know, Greeny. See, everybody else is going to come up here, and they're going to act like they have a clue. I have no clue at all. I'm letting you know. I ain't talked to no GM. I ain't been talking to Kuiper. McShay don't have my number. Shefty don't never text me back. So I don't know where the hell Tua going. Somebody going to draft him. He going to play quarterback. That's what I do know, and we'll hear his name called tonight. Now ask Laura and Marcus and all them people that's at every SEC game that matter, because I mean,
that's great. It's so fantastic. And literally, so he went, then everybody was saying that they were laughing watching him say that. And he stuck by it. But he also, he said he has some of his other ones. He said, where was it? He had, because he had Marcus Spears and he had all these different guys that were rolling on him. And he said something about his post-playing life. He knows that he needs to work out so he could be somewhere like his playing days as a defensive back. Unfortunately, his eating habits have him more like a defensive lineman, and now he's just hoping to settle into somewhere like an aging veteran backup quarterback. And Orlovsky was like, hey now, bro, wait a minute. And I'm like, just fantastic, some of the stuff that he puts out there.
That's great.
I'm still trying to get him on the show, by the way.
Okay, cool. That would be good. Very good. No, it would be good. But I was thinking, you know, speaking of teases, we teased Lance's mock draft and we never got
it. Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Headline for the mock draft from Mole LZ, it says Mock Draft 3.0, released today at 10:46, updated 11:24 a.m. Justin Herbert falls to 18 in LZ's mock draft.
Really?
Has him going 18th to the Dolphins. And that's because he's got Burrow 1, Chase Young 2, but he doesn't have the Dolphins taking Tua with the 5th pick. He's got the Dolphins taking Andrew Thomas, an offensive tackle from Georgia. Then with the 6th pick, Tua would go to the Chargers. So that I find to be an interesting
Well, and I heard him talk a little bit with John scenario, this morning. That because you had mentioned smart. The Dolphins have 3 first-round picks. If they think that Love would slide to their, like, 18-19 pick, that they would take an offensive lineman first and then still get a quarterback. The problem is if there's a run on quarterbacks, and by the time they get down to 18-19, the quarterbacks that they had interest in are gone, that then they could really be left holding the bag. So it's a dangerous game of roulette that they play, because if you go with the offensive lineman first, and then you're at the mercy of other teams. You know damn well if you go with the quarterback first, you're going to get at least one of the guys that you want.
Right. Yeah, so he's got his top 5 picks. He's got Joe Burrow to the Bengals, Chase Young second to the Redskins, Derek Brown, defensive tackle out of Auburn, third to the Lions, Tristan Wirfs, offensive tackle out of Iowa to the Giants at 4, and then like I said, Andrew Thomas out of Georgia to the Dolphins at 5. He's got Tua going as the 2nd QB off the board, and then he's got Justin Herbert as the 3rd QB taken in the first round, and that would be it. No other QBs will go in the first round, according to LZ. is okay. Burrow, Tua, and Herbert. He does have – I mean, if you think about that, though, he thinks two of the first five picks in the draft – or, yeah, two of the first five will be offensive tackles. And then he's another one at 10 and 11. So he's got four in the first 11 picks will be offensive tackles. That's a – and then, you know, that's pretty top-heavy draft for tackles.
Yeah, it is. I'm telling you, I'm reading these Ryan Clark tweets so I can give you the exact tweets. Mm-hmm. And I went back at it. And the first thing was people were talking about the soundbite we just rolled. And he goes, bro, I didn't know the answer, though. I thought they'd just take me out of the segment. But when they went to me, it was like, okay. And so he said what he felt. And then the original tweet was, my workout schedule says starting corner. My eating habit says backup long snapper. Hopefully I meet somewhere in the middle and act like an aging pocket passer. Hashtag snacks over everything. And then your guy, DJ Holly Grobe, who I believe is from Houston, started coming at him and goes, bro, someone needs to send Ryan Clark back to the 504, which is his area code when he was in LSU. He responds, LOL, I'm right here at the 225, as in 225, what he's weighing.
That's funny.
Yeah, some good stuff. So, yeah, and LZ, again, follow him on Twitter. I called him this morning and he answered when he was in break with Granato, but because he didn't travel to the draft, and he will be doing stuff, obviously, throughout the draft for NFL Network, but follow him on Twitter because, I mean, he wasn't lying. I saw the other night when he tweeted, he just finished up, I think, his 500th player profile in terms of potential draftable players. And he was definitely going to have a cocktail. Think about that now. We kid him, and he's always up in the office, and he's constantly there breaking down players. 500 players?
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, that's the job. That is a lot of film to watch over and over and over. He's got 7 tackles in the first round going. So,
wow.
Yeah. And then if the Dolphins stick to his plan, they get a center, a tackle, and a quarterback with their 3 picks in the first round.
So in essence,
I still think they might trade one out for depth, but I could be wrong.
In essence, it's a wide receiver heavy, offensive tackle heavy draft.
The first round at least is, I mean, what did I say, 7 offensive tackles in the first round?
Yep.
That's pretty significant. It looks like he's got 6 receivers going in the first round. So there's 13 of your first 32 picks are either going to be an offensive tackle or receiver, according to LZ. So that just tells you that that's 13 first round grades on 2 positions.
Now, I know you're not a fan, and I'm not trying to get people's hopes up here in Houston, but if it's an offensive tackle heavy and wide receiver heavy draft, that means the secondary and the defensive linemen, except for the top, top, top defensive linemen, hopefully slide a little bit so that when the Texans draft at 40, they can have some quality players to choose from. You know, I mentioned yesterday, Delpit from LSU could slide into the second round. If that happens, that's a huge coup for whoever gets him. But if the Texans are lucky enough to be somewhere in the vicinity, that would be fantastic.
Well, he's got 2 defensive tackles going in the first round. And he's got
the kid from Auburn and the kid from South Carolina, right?
Yeah, he's got 6 corners. Yeah, Derek Brown from Auburn. And he's got 6 corners going in the first round. Wow, that's crazy. That's a lot, too, when you think about it. 6 now, I mean, 31 and 32, he's got Trevin Diggs from Bama going to the Giants, Jeff Gladney from TCU going to the Chiefs. Go Chiefs. But
yeah,
that's still, I mean, that's 19 of your first 32 picks tied up by 3 positions. That doesn't seem to be very spread around. Like that's, but those are 3 really important positions, too, when you think about it.
Yeah, no question about it.
Especially in today's, I mean, wide receiver and cornerback, obviously, because it's a pass-happy league, and you better keep your quarterback upright, so offensive tackle is going to be important.
And look, the other thing that should be said, and I'm trying to think back, when did Brian Gain get fired? Brian Gain got fired after the draft, right?
I want to say January. No. That's when Billy O took over. It was the beginning of the season, right?
So if that's the case, I mean, I don't think enough credit has been going Brian Gain's way, because for everybody that thought that, you know, it was everybody else that the Texans should have drafted at offensive line, two guys that they drafted that were offensive linemen turned out pretty good. And when you think about it, yeah, he had ups and downs, but Lonnie Johnson was at least serviceable. So I think they could have done a lot worse, especially when we've seen some of the previous drafts of the Texans, in the fact that they made some pretty decent picks last year.
June 2019 was when he was fired. And yeah, you're right. Lonnie Johnson wasn't great. I had higher hopes for him. But I think the Howard pick.
Yeah.
I still went back and looked at the mocks, and he still probably could have been picked in the third round, and you still would have got the same production out of him. So while I think he ended up being serviceable to good at right tackle, Gain still, they probably overpaid for him. But again, we don't know if that was Billy O pushing that or was that Brian Gain. That's the part we don't know. But you still got you a starter. You got the starting right tackle in the NFL, so you could have done worse. And, you know, Sharping is – I think he was third round.
Yeah, Sharping was third round.
And he's turned out to be serviceable, yeah. So
they got those two right. You're right. And then the other thing, you know, from the flip side is the kid from the Eagles was the guy that everybody – I was one of them that I thought the offensive lineman that they needed to take was the kid from the Eagles. And instead of taking him, that, you know, they went with Howard. And the kid from the Eagles didn't do a whole lot. And until Howard got hurt, he was pretty damn good.
Yeah, he was gelling. He was looking good. I mean, yeah. You're set now, though. You got your right tackle and your left tackle. I mean, Nick Martin is your center, and Sharping is, right guard? So all they really need is, if they can get a left guard in this draft that could play, they've all of a sudden got a decent O-line.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, it's not something that they have to concentrate as much on as they've had in the past. And by the way, shout out to Jermaine Every. But I still say read the tweet, and Ryan Clark was referring to his weight too. But the 225 is Baton Rouge, which is where Ryan Clark is. Actually, that's where he played ball at LSU, where he lives. So 225 area code LSU and Baton Rouge, 504 New Orleans. Everybody's happy now. All right. Well, we'll continue to roll on with our final segment. We'll put a bow on it next. Turn it over to the Blitz. It's Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel. Always great when the band's back together and having Nicholas in the studio as we roll through the final segment of the show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. If this is true, and Barry, I couldn't agree with you more on your response to it, if it is true, but Channel 13 just dropped a note that says the Buffalo Grill that we just got done talking about served a violation notice after police officers were seen eating. One says inside, one says outside. It doesn't matter. They're first responders. What the hell is that?
Oh, wow. So we're saying that that the fire department, because that's who's serving the notices, but they're out there telling Buffalo Grill, who's trying to feed first responders, that that's a violation. That's pretty chicken bleep.
And what would be even worse is, on the way out after writing the violation, they grabbed some grub, and then they headed back to the station.
That would have been worse. Did that really happen, or would that have been?
I don't know. I'm trying to because he just sent us a screen capture of the headline and the story. But I'm interested now, because if that's what you're spending your time on, and people were mad at Lena Hidalgo for telling everybody that they have to wear masks, but then you're gonna, with all the crimes way up and all the different things that are happening in the city, and the restaurant's trying to go out there and do something good for people that are on the front lines, and that's what you're gonna spend your time doing?
Yeah,
come on, man. Pretty bad. You can use your time a little better than that. That's pretty chicken bleep.
Yep.
So
don't like it. Don't like it.
No, I don't like it at all. I don't care. And by the way, I'm getting a lot of heat because of the fact that I like Ryan Clark. I don't care. I'll take it. That's fine.
Are you getting the heat on Twitter?
Text and Twitter. Oh. So that has
I just delete all that and move it, and then you.
No, my personal text, my phone, on my phone, sitting right in front of me. My phone. People are texting me
your
like
friends are giving you heat.
Yeah, bro, why don't you get Ryan Clark's out of your And I'm like, oh, seriously. You know what? Just the same way we're criticized people that are bad on air, I like to give props to those that are good on air. Okay. So therefore, now I will intensify my pursuit of getting Ryan Clark on the show. And he fits right in with you, Barry Laminack, because I've told you time and time again.
Oh, does he?
He's a massive junk food aficionado. Okay. And that's why the running joke is during the pandemic, much like stuff you've been tweeting about and talking about, he has gotten caught up in the fact that he can't push away from the pantry full of snacks.
Okay. Well, I have a newfound respect for Ryan Clark then, if he's a junk food aficionado.
Yeah, just like when we were talking about how backgrounds are so important when you're shooting the Sunday show or when we're doing sports map videos or whatever. And I told you, he was laughing at all the guys worried about are their jerseys and their game balls and all the things in their bookcases. He's like, I'm just taking it from start to finish, top to bottom, and just nothing but Little Debbie snack cakes and Twinkies and.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so I think that's something that you guys could talk about, and then you could choose your favorite snack.
Oh, we can certainly have. Oh, yes, we can certainly have.
Now, are zebra cakes nationwide? Are people aware of zebra cakes?
Yes.
Like we always talk about, that's Midwest or that's that zebra cakes. Everybody knows about.
Boy, I certainly hope so. Because if they're not, this country is really missing out right now.
Because like Twinkies are national and Hostess, but like Zingers weren't as well known, were they?
I don't believe so.
Zingers was Dolly Madison, and Dolly Madison was kind of hit and miss in terms of where in the country they carried the Dolly Madison stuff.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that. But I would have to Google it. But I thought because it's who is it? It's a Little Debbie. So that should be national.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
So, cakes. I was just curious. Never had one. Boy, I had more than my share of Twinkies. Never mind. Dinged all the Hostess products. Woo.
Oh,
and
you're
I told
a big Ding Dong fan.
No,
you love
and I told
Ding Dongs. Yeah,
we
you
had.
How many Ding Dongs have you had in your mouth at once? How
see,
many Ding Dongs
we go.
Can fit in your mouth? I'm just.
I told
asking,
you
I was
that
ask you
growing up.
Twinkies too, Joel.
What'd they call it instead of like the scratch and dent sales and stuff like that? The Dolly Madison. Had like the day old bakery or the so
oh,
they
yes.
were discounted. Woo, yep. baby. When mom and dad used to pull up to that, look out.
Old Fatty Joel was getting my mom's
no
tickets to the day old bakery
on
Washington. There was a day old bakery on Washington, and my mom would take us down there and you know, single mom on a secretary's salary.
I think it was, so I think it's still down there, Barry.
Is it?
I think it might be, yeah. Because when Washington Avenue was the hot spot to go out as a single guy, and you always went down, I think I remember still seeing it there. I
like
flashbacks.
Mrs. Baird's or something. It looked like Mrs. Baird's or something
yeah.
like that, or Sunbeam, or I don't remember. Yep.
They still had the bread and everything else, too. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I needed a shoehorn to get in the bathtub when I was a kid, but I didn't need to be asked twice if I wanted to go to the Dolly Madison second day old sale.
That was happening, huh?
Yep. Everything from the fruit pies and fruit filled those snack pies. Look out, man.
You were in, huh?
I could do some work. we were talking before we get off this old couple of Marquise Lee, the former Jaguars receiver, signed a 1-year deal with the Patriots. Not sure how that's going to work either way, but at least he gets a new contract, and the Patriots are trying to add to their prolific receiving core. And Percy Harvin wants a comeback. I want to get your thoughts on this. I had it to talk about yesterday, but before we get out of here, he's been out of the league for 3 years. He was a guy that was never short on talent, but very well documented, caused fights in the locker room, tough to get along with, had a lot of things going on off the field. If you're an NFL team, now he's working out with, I think, an Olympic sprinter, and he's in great shape, and he said he's got his life together. Percy Harvin going to end up on a roster?
I think he would end up on a roster. I think somebody's going to take a chance on him. I mean, he might still have 1 or 2 years left. Mm-hmm. But a team that's in desperate need of a wide receiver or depth at that position, then I could see them, you know, bringing him to camp. I'm not suggesting that he's going to.
That's what I was going to say. I'm sure he'll get an invite.
Yeah.
Seeing Gronk come back, he's like, well, he said he had the itch too, so he's coming back. Bigger difference is Gronk's only been out about a year. When you've missed three NFL seasons and now you want to get back in and start taking that punishment on a daily basis, it takes a special kind of in shape, should I say, to play football. It's not just, you know, your cardio and your strength. It's the durability factor and taking those hits on a regular basis and your body getting conditioned to all of that. And stepping away for 3 years, that's a whole different ball game to get back into than the time Gronk's been out.
Yeah, it is.
Well, that'll about do it for us. Nick, always great to have you back in the saddle.
Yes, sir. Talk to you guys next week.
Yep. You have a great night, Barry. You do the same. And you guys as suspects, you do as well. Enjoy the first night of the draft. We'll talk about it tomorrow on an FYF Friday. Right here on The Usual Suspects. For us, all the way to you. Have a great night. The Blitz is next. ESPN 97.5.
Then I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
ESPN 97.5.